Welcome back to The Grapevine. Michael Warren Thomas, and it is harvest season in the Finger Lakes and around the country, around the Northern Hemisphere. And I feel incredibly fortunate that we don't have the wildfires that California has to deal with right in the middle of harvest. A lot of their grapes have been harvested, but a lot of them still remained as the smoke just hung over that area, and wildfires swept through parts of Napa in particular. Here we sometimes get early freezes, late freezes, depending on spring or fall, but we don't tend to have these just devastating effects over large parts of our region. There's some hailstorms this year, both early in the season and some just a few days ago, which probably caused some damage and can be devastating in some cases, but tend to be very localized. We're in a great place where climate change and warmer temperatures will perhaps make it a little bit easier to grow some grapes here. It's really the big swings in weather and day to day and those kinds of events that pose the most risk at this point for our region. And you could see the difference between a warm climate grape and a cool climate grape in the home winemakers in their statistics for the grapes that they got from California. Each year the home winemakers order grapes from California, probably because we can't grow grapes the way that California can, because it's a hotter climate, and so they get much higher Brix, which is the sugar content of the grapes, than we do here. And one of the local producers of juice, Fulkerson's, posts the Brix on their juices that they sell, which, as I've said many times, you can buy, as I do, to just drink as fresh grape juice, and a lot of different varieties available. But the Brix levels are wildly different when you have a very warm climate. The Cab Sauvignon in particular came in at 27 Brix from the California grapes. And I'm not sure what Cab Sauv comes in the Finger Lakes at, but I'm guessing it's in the low 20s. Fulkerson's doesn't sell Cabernet grape juice because they probably don't produce enough. I think they do produce some, but not enough to sell as juice. They use it just for their own winemaking. But again, this is what happens in a warmer climate. You get higher sugar levels. And the advantage here in our climate, cool climate, is that the sugar levels usually get high enough, but they are balanced by acidity levels. And so when you take a wine that's high Brix and ferment it dry, you end up with high alcohol. So local wines, the New York State wines in general, tend to be lower in alcohol than many of the California or Australian wines, just as the European wines in many cases are lower alcohol than California and Australia, two of the key warm climate parts of the world. So the winemakers, the vineyard managers, they're watching the Brix levels, they're watching the acidity, and they are trying to pick at this sweet spot, no pun intended, between when the sugars are going up and the acidity is going down. You want a balance of those two. And if you wait too long, the sugars get too high and the acidity too low, and then you've got to add acidity, and you end up with a higher alcohol wine. So the home winemakers brought in Montepulciano, Old Vine Zin, Syrah, Merlot, Cab Sauvignon, and the Montepulciano, I should have looked this, it might be Chianti. It's a region, it's not a, I don't think it's a grape variety actually, but my strength is local New York State wines, not the wines of the world. So the Montepulciano is a deep red grape, and I'll check which variety it is so I don't give misinformation. And they also got in some white grapes, again, so they got a bunch of different white grapes in, and again, these are some varieties that we don't see as often here, or warmer climate versions of things like Riesling that we do. And actually, Montepulciano is a grape variety. I stand corrected. I was pretty sure it was just a region, but it is a grape variety, red grape. The white grapes they brought in, Chablis, which again is a region of France, not a grape variety. It's I thought Chablis were made with Chardonnay grapes, but then they also brought in Riesling and Sauvignon Blanc. So whole variety of grapes for home winemakers. You join the local organization, and you can be a part of these group purchases. They buy a lot of juice. They posted a photo of it, and they had mainly, I think, 5-gallon buckets that it comes in. But maybe they also brought in some grapes, and the so they're pressing some of their own. So I'm all for local products, but we don't have grapes that get as high a Brix as those from California, and they also buy grapes during the winter from Chile. So Southern Hemisphere is harvesting when it's spring here, it's fall in the Southern Hemisphere. So they also get together and buy juice from Chile, and I don't know, maybe like mainly Chile, but maybe Argentina too. So if you're interested in, you know, basically two harvests a year, two chances to make wine from fresh grapes or fresh juice, you should join the home winemakers. And of course, places like Fulkerson's and Randall Standish are sources of local juice if you want to make your own. So right now, and Fulkerson seems to update their list really well. It's up FulkersonWinery.com, and then under that, Fulkerson Farms, for their juice plant. And they are sold out of Chancellor. They have a waiting list for Chardonnay, but they do have Croix Noir and Noiré available. And you'll notice if you go to their website that both of those have R for registered trademark next to them. Croix Noir and Noiré are registered trademarks, I believe, of Cornell University, because they developed them at the experiment station. And these are hybrid grapes that were named a decade ago, something like that. And they are both currently available at Fulkerson Winery. And you can probably taste them before you buy them if you like, just to see if you're going to drink them as fresh juice or make them into wine, whether it, you know, tastes like something you want to drink or work with. And coming up this next week, starting October 15th through the 18th, they will have the last five grapes of their season that they offer as juice. Catawba, which is a native grape and a beautiful pink. This is the grape that is in a red cap. And also a grape that won some major prizes for the Finger Lakes as a sparkling wine back in the 1800s, early 1900s. They were making sparkling wine with Catawba. And I think the Chipika, the wine that a couple of Nathan Kendall and a sommelier from New York City are collaborating on, Pascaline Le Pelletier, they are using Catawba for their Chipika. I think it's a pet nat. So they're kind of reviving Catawba as a sparkling wine. And there probably are some forced carbonation versions of Catawba out there. There's a bunch of forced carbonation wines, bubbles or bubbly, or it goes under various names. Less expensive than a traditional sparkling wine, method Chepinoise, because they're just much easier to make. Much easier to make when you think of all the times that you've got to riddle a traditional champagne and the number of times you got to touch that bottle during the production is kind of insane, actually. So the bubbles and that style of forced carbonation is really inexpensive, and some of them are sweeter. Not all of them, though. So you should taste them when you see them on a list, or maybe see them at the store. Candio from Lakewood was one of the first of these. I think they were the first one to get the equipment to do this, and so they continue to make Candio, Candeo. I'm not sure which grape is in that. And they also make, since they have the equipment, and it's probably pretty expensive equipment, they make this bubble sparkling forced carbonation wine for I think a bunch of other wineries, and so those other wineries bring them the juice or the wine, actually, and then they add the carbonation at Lakewood, bottle it, label it, and send it back to those wineries, which is a pretty common practice in the Finger Lakes, whether it's presses or bottling lines or all kinds of collaborations are going on where Finger Lakes wineries are sharing equipment and helping each other. I mean, I don't know how much the forced carbonation system costs from the one that Lakewood purchased, but no doubt it's in the tens of thousands of dollars. It may well be well above that. And so it doesn't make sense for everyone to invest in one of those when it's a relatively new category. They're not producing large quantities of it around the Finger Lakes. And so it makes sense for one winery to have the equipment, and they help to pay off that equipment by charging other wineries to do the forced carbonation for them. It's a great deal. So anyway, back to Fulkerson Winery. They have Catawba available next week, October 15th through the 18th, only $5.25 a gallon. They also will have Riesling available at $18 a gallon, and Traminette, another hybrid developed by Cornell longer ago, and so they didn't register that trademark. Vidal Blanc, which is another pretty common hybrid, one that is often used for ice wine because the grapes are either just tougher, they hang better long after the regular harvest, and so waiting till it freezes on the vine to make an ice wine. Casalarga uses Vidal and Riesling and Cabernet Franc too, but I think Vidal is probably the main grape that they use in terms of volume at Casa Larga. It's also one of only two hybrids that I know of that's allowed in Canada, in the Niagara Peninsula. The Vidal, which is generally for their ice wine, although they also make ice wine with many other grapes, but just in terms of sheer volume, it's Vidal and Baco Noir, which seldom made into ice wine, but is a hybrid that, mainly on the strength of what Henry of Pelham has done with it, they're in Jordan, just south of Niagara on the lake, and they were making such great Baco Noir that it had to be included with approved grapes for their quality control, which if you want to have your wines considered as the top wines of the Niagara Peninsula of Canada or Ontario in general, you've got to grow vinifera or Vidal and Baco. So if you've wondered, what Vidal tastes like, it's occasionally used for a white table wine in the Finger Lakes. It's a really good wine I've gotten, or a really good grape I've gotten the juice a number of times to freeze. And then Vincent is the other grape that will be available next week at Fulkerson. They make a varietal Vincent at Fulkerson. Not many other wineries do. Super dark juice, just crazy dark juice. And it's often used to color other wines in really tiny percentages. That's how dark it is. So you can add it to a Pinot Noir, and again, small percentage of Vincent, like 1% or 2%, really small percentages that the wineries don't have to declare on the bottle, and doesn't really affect the flavor, but it adds a substantial amount of color. It's not like it's going to turn, a light-colored Pinot Noir into looking like a Syrah or something, but it does add just a nice amount of color, and that's one of the key ways it's used in the region. So Vincent is one I've gotten it and frozen it as juice. It's quite good. So that's Fulkerson Winery, just south of Glenora on the west side of Seneca Lake. And then you look up Randall Standish, which is just north of Naples on Route 21. And they don't update their website as much. They say through October 11th, this was their order form developed a month ago. Actually, probably take that back, a month and a half or so ago. These were projected dates, and they may be out of some of these, but they were thinking they would have Cayuga White Aramella, another new grape from Cornell, Deschanac, a red hybrid, and some Concord through October 11th. Again, they may not have any of those, so you could try calling them before you go down to see if there's one of those you're particularly interested in. They're projecting to have Noiré, Traminette, Iona, and Isabella available through October 18th. Again, that's based on availability, and check on those. Iona and Isabella are two heirloom grapes, pink grapes, so like Catawba, give you a great pink color, and they're not commonly used right now in the Finger Lakes, but I believe Isabella was one of the big grapes used by Great Western and a number of wineries in the 1800s when they didn't have vinifera. So there was no Riesling, Merlot, Cabernet, Gewürztraminer, and that wasn't grown in the Finger Lakes and New York State, East Coast for that matter, up in till the 1950s when Dr. Frank arrived and showed people how to do it. That's when these vinifera varieties started to appear and be successfully grown. So before that, it was Catawba, it was Isabella, it was Diana, I don't know how long ago Vidal was around. I think Cayuga White was developed by Cornell a very long time ago. Delaware, another native grape, so that would have been around in the late 1800s. And probably a bunch of other varieties that are just no longer grown. And it's really, I've said many times, I appreciate the fact that Randall Standish continues to grow these heirloom grapes so that people have the opportunity to work with them. So we basically keep the gene pool of grapes broader than we would otherwise. And there may be some genes in these heirloom grapes, which in the long run may be crucial to developing disease resistance or you know, adapting to climate change, all kinds of potential factors that are difficult to predict now, but you know, 50 years from now, you know, having these Isabella and Diana Iona grapes may be something that is produces some of the best hybrids as Cornell continues to work on new hybrids. So these are the juice plants, Randall Standish, Fulkerson. I mention them a lot because not many people take advantage of tasting those juices and maybe buying some of them and bringing them home and freezing them and having them for the holidays. But again, take a glass off the top, maybe get them in half gallons so they're easier to freeze and not such an overwhelming amount of juice at one time if you're just going to drink it rather than make wine. But both of these places, they have the equipment to make wine available, and you can basically go home with the setup, glass carboy and everything else that you need to produce wine from these grapes. And both of them are places, they're just nice people. I really enjoyed visiting Fulkerson and Randall Standish over many years. And if you're at Fulkerson on the west side of Seneca Lake, maybe stopping at Glenora and enjoy lunch. You can take that outside. They have a lot of outdoor seating if the weather continues to cooperate to some degree, and so far it's really been pretty good. And all this dry weather that we've had has been really helpful for the harvest. There's been some rain here and there, but compared to some previous years when we've had feels like rain almost every day, it's been pretty dry, and the vineyard managers and the winemakers seem really happy with harvest here in 2020. So just an all-around crappy year in so many ways. That's understatement of the year, but the grapes seem to be coming in and looking really good. This is the final weekend for the only place on Cayuga Lake, and I heard from a couple of our listeners who've been down there, one of whom has a cottage or stayed at a cottage just around the corner from them this summer, and that'd be a dangerous place for me. I'd be up at the only place probably at least on a daily basis. You know, go in the morning to get a cinnamon roll and go later in the day to have a pint of beer, something like that, and look out on the lake. So the only place open seasonally. Seth only runs it generally through Columbus Day weekend, and so this is their final weekend. I think they're open tomorrow. I didn't actually check their schedule. It's the only place, O-L-N-E-Y, because that's Seth's name, O-L-N-E-Y. But a funny play on the only place on Cayuga. It's the only place. And they have really good food. It's kind of a little mini grocery store and convenience store that's cool and interesting, has a great mural, and again, really good food and sandwiches. So it'd be a beautiful place to stop on your drive around the hills of the Finger Lakes, enjoying the colors in our region, Western New York. just a beautiful time to drive around. Maybe take a drive out to Arrowhead Spring Vineyards, just north of Lockport, Route 104 and Route 31. I take one direction and one the other direction, just for, you know, sort of different architecture and views. And there's going to be beautiful trees no matter where you go. You could go down to the Niagara River Gorge and look around. There's pretty much everywhere you look, some sugar maples. We have one on our street that's just stunning. And peak color just coming to the region right now. Bristol Mountain's doing their sky rides, if you want to go down and enjoy that. And the new restaurant that's going to be in the old former one-room schoolhouse in Naples, it's called Old School Naples, has a pop-up this weekend. They are renovating the schoolhouse into a restaurant. We'll serve breakfast and lunch. It's Trish Azer from the Brown Hound downtown who is adding this second location. They'll continue at the Memorial Art Gallery, but they're adding this location in Naples. So they've set up a tent the last couple weekends, selling baked goods and things to the people who are out checking out the leaves and the harvest, the grape harvest. But Trish said she wasn't going to do grape pie because in Naples there are many, many other producers of grape pie. And so she has other, some with grapes, some other baked goods. I've got to get her to make some gingerbread again. Just had a outrageously good gingerbread last winter at the Brown Hound, and it's getting cool again. Fall is it's getting colder, and that means maybe she'll make gingerbread again. And have her put my name on a gingerbread list to call or text or email when there's gingerbread being made. So I don't think she has gingerbread under the pop-up tent, but stop by in Salo, get something to eat, and check out the grape pies. You know, it's something I get usually one a year, usually from a different producer each year. This year it was Jenny's, which I got at Gentles Farm Market, but they don't always have them. Casa Larga, they often have Cindy's grape pies. Monica's is perhaps the biggest or one of the biggest producers. I think I read that she makes about 10,000 grape pies a year, which is, that's crazy. That's a lot of grape pies. And they freeze the grapes so they can make them all year long. So you don't have to only have grape pie now. You could get a grape pie from Monica's or some of these other producers for Thanksgiving. You might want to have pumpkin too, but you know, if you have friends or family that you might be sharing Thanksgiving with, although we're not doing the huge celebrations that we would otherwise, it might be fun to have a grape pie at Thanksgiving. It's a very local thing. I don't know if there's anywhere else in the country that makes more than the occasional grape pie, and Naples is the place. If you visit some wineries, some breweries, some distilleries, some cideries, let me know where you've been and what you're tasting. Send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. I did see a note from Christopher and Isabel from FLX Table, FLX Hospitality, that their restaurant in Corning is going to open soon, and probably in November. I was there last Sunday just looking in the windows. It's in a prominent spot right at the key corner of Market Street in Corning. And Christopher said that they're going to have 1,500 to 2,000 wines on their wine list, a lot of older, rare wines, but also I think some older wines that are, you know, not necessarily super expensive, fancy label, famous labels. My impression was maybe some, you know, an opportunity to taste some older wines. And using the Coravin system, you can get them in very small quantities, maybe 3-ounce samples, that are not crazy expensive. There really aren't very many opportunities to taste older wine. So it's going to be a fun wine list in Corning at their new restaurant, and also a market, I believe they're doing, and a substantial amount of space on Market Street in Corning. So again, It's going to be opening, they're hoping, at some point in November. Looks beautiful. Great space. So follow them on Facebook, FLX Hospitality, and you can stay updated on Instagram on what they're doing. We'll be back next Saturday with Gardening Restaurants Discover the Finger Lakes. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's SavorLife.com. Have a great day.